From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. The UK's decision to leave the European Union has a lot of people worried about its impact on markets, trade, politics. What about its impact on the tech world? Well, we called analyst Mark Mahaney at RBC Capital. He says there's a lot of anxiety right now, but life will go on.
I'll hazard a bit of a guess that within 2 weeks, the conversation in Europe is going to focus much more on the Euro Cup final than it is on Brexit.
In between beers and football matches, tech industry people will probably still be concerned about how a departure of the UK from the EU might impact the industry. Recruiting, data sharing agreements, even where to put new offices and server farms seem to hang in the balance for some firms. A good topic for Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society co-founder Jonathan Zittrain. Jonathan, is this going to make it harder for tech companies to do business in the UK?
Maybe there would be some effort to say, yeah, you know, you're on the outside of our data sphere, England, and any companies there are going to have to put up outposts in Paris or Berlin or Ireland, take your pick. At the end of the day, a lot of the entrepreneurial activity, if you look at startups in tech in Europe, so many of them disproportionately are anchored in the UK. So if I'm about to make a big ol' investment in a data center, this is going to be something I'm going to want to know about. If I'm going to be doing some kind of startup, it might give me pause too, but you know, startups tend not to pause.
One survey I looked at suggested that 90% of tech workers in London were opposed to Brexit. And I've seen reports suggesting, I don't know, similar feelings among American tech firms. Do you think there's something about the culture of the tech industry that makes its members kind of natural opponents to a decision like this?
I think a lot of the kind of tech startup attitude is one that actually embraces and as badge of honor not to worry about nation states too much, and that these local regulations are outdated, and in that sense, anything that means there's one-stop shopping to know where the boundaries are is the kind of thing that could be quite useful to a startup.
What other concerns for tech companies does this decision bring up?
We've seen in the United States in the somewhat baroque H-1B visa debate, there's a real desire to get your engineering talent wherever you can find it and not worrying so much whether it's homegrown. And I think the prospect of migration controls making it harder if you hire an engineer in Estonia or Germany or something, making it harder for that person to actually come work in the UK or vice versa, that's probably seen as a negative.
Jonathan Zittrain, professor of law and computer science at Harvard, also the co-founder and director of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society. Jonathan, always nice to have you on.
Thank you, Ben.
It has been a few days since the decision, but that doesn't mean your social media feeds aren't still full of chatter. The question is, how much news is in your feed? Marketplace's Levi Sharp ventured into Midtown to find someone willing to pull out their phone with him and see how Brexit was playing. He found 28-year-old Kinsa Hassan.
I'm on Twitter right now, and yeah, I just follow mostly news outlets. I've got Salon, Vice, AJ Plus, Foreign Policy Media. I mean, it's all Brexit, basically. Salon, not even J.K. Rowling could convince the British xenophobes to stay put. I actually was just wondering what people of the Leave campaign have been saying, and I don't actually see that on Twitter. Maybe that's because my Twitter feed is a bit biased, I don't know, but I am pretty aware of the fact that I'm only seeing people who are part of the Remain campaign and are expressing their grievances and expressing how they feel about Brexit.
And would you say what's popping up on your feed is shifting your view on this?
No, it's pretty much solidifying it. I'm pretty anti-Brexit. I'm a dual citizen, UK-US. So, for example, my prospects of, you know, working in the EU and whatever opportunities I could have had have been just completely squashed.
And what about other social media platforms that you follow? Is it essentially the same kind of information that you're getting, or do you think that there's any kind of difference between any of them?
There might be more cats on my Instagram, but, you know, Brexit is still there. But yeah, no, I don't think, aside from the cats, I don't think it's that different, yeah.
All right, we're curious about your social media feed and if Brexit is on there. All Brexit all the time, not at all, one side, the other. Do us a favor, take a screenshot of one of your social media feeds and send it to us. You can post it at facebook.com/marketplacetech or tweet to us. We're at Marketplace Tech. The other day, Science Magazine tackled a burning question in the community of experts who are focused on self-driving cars. How should a machine react in a split-second choice when there's an accident and it needs to either protect its passenger or people in the vehicle's path? Researchers quizzed several thousand regular human Americans to see how they thought the rules of software systems should be built and how they would like to be treated in various self-driving vehicle accident scenarios. Researcher Jean-François Bonafam breaks down the average response.
People strongly agreed from a moral perspective that cars should save the greater number. But at the same time, they're not that willing to buy a car that would sacrifice them.
So people generally seem to feel that saving the largest number of lives is the best option. However, they'd be most interested in buying or using cars that prioritize the passenger above all else. Now we're getting to the root of it. How would they feel about a regulation requiring car software stick to this greatest number of lives rule?
They didn't like this idea at all, which means that most people under such legislation would decide to continue driving themselves as long as possible.
AKA, you might not see consumers ready to lay down plastic for self-driving cars for a long time. However, Jean-François Bonafant says the first step to adoption may be finding consensus on how and who we want to be saved in a self-driving future. Meanwhile, our journey has come to an end. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.